Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition for Saturday, December 16th, 2023. Fix West Texas. Donor comes through for animals needing adoption. The animal advocacy group, Fix West Texas, reported this week that it has a donor who will cover the adoption fees for any pet in FWT's care or in the care of Midland Animal Services. The announcement comes during a time when families traditionally adopt dogs and cats. Fix West Texas Executive Director Karen Patterson told the Reporter Telegram that even with the arrangement to save potential adopters money, the decision to adopt is a serious one. Quote, adopting a pet comes with responsibilities, such as providing food, love, and a great home, end quote, Patterson said. Quote, sometimes there are adjustment periods where you must work with the animal on behavioral issues and potty issues. If you or your family or kids are home for the holidays, this can be a perfect time to work with your new pet to integrate it into their new home, end quote. Patterson wants to avoid the post-Christmas dumping of unwanted pets or the surrender of pets to Midland Animal Services following the holidays. Fix West Texas is one of numerous organizations that has toiled through a tough 2023. There were changes at Midland Animal Services, and social media has been used more than ever to showcase the problem of loose animals in Midland. Still, Fix West Texas reminded those interested that the donation means, quote, adoptions are free, which will save lives. All you have to do is commit to loving the pet and providing them a great home, end quote. Fix West Texas also announced this week that the groundbreaking on its new clinic will take place Monday. Delta to fly out of Midland, offering three flights to Austin. Another airline is going to be flying between Midland and Austin, according to the City of Midland. The city confirmed a report from the Dallas Morning News that Delta will add three daily flights between the two cities on April 22nd. The Morning News report states Austin is where the carrier plans to grow in the Lone Star State. Quote, Midland International Air and Spaceport is thrilled to welcome Delta Airlines to its roster of esteemed carriers, initiating new services daily to and from Midland, Texas, beginning April 22nd, end quote. The City of Midland offered in a news release. Quote, Delta Airlines will be selling tickets for the new three-flight offerings between Austin and Midland beginning Saturday, December 16th, end quote. Currently, Southwest is the lone airline flying directly between Midland and Austin. Delta is expected to include a morning, afternoon, and evening departure daily. Delta will become the fourth airline flying out of Midland, joining Southwest, American Eagle, and United. Quote, we are delighted to welcome Delta Airlines to Midland International's Air and Spaceport, end quote, said Councilwoman Robin Poole, City Council Airport Liaison in the news release. Quote, this partnership is a testament to our ongoing commitment to offering diverse travel options and ensuring exceptional service for our community. We look forward to this collaboration's opportunities, further solidifying Midland as a premier travel hub, end quote. The city noted the partnership marks a pivotal moment in Midland's air travel landscape, offering enhanced travel options and increased accessibility to a wider network of destinations through Delta's renowned services. Midland Mayor Lori Blong stated in the news release, quote, by adding more flights for the Midland community, these additional offerings enhance our region's business and leisure travel, further demonstrating our commitment to growing our economy. This is a testament to our commitment to the overall strategic plan the city has adopted, end quote. For further information, booking details, and flight schedules, please visit delta.com or flymaf.com. Things to know. Saturday's Christmas shipping deadline. As Christmas quickly approaches, Cade Fowler of MacPack Package and Mail Depot shared a few deadlines and tips for those who want to ensure their gifts arrive at its intended destination on or before Christmas Day. Deadlines. Fowler shared that the Christmas Day deadline for the U.S. Postal Service ground shipping services is Saturday, December 16th. The Postal Service priority shipping Christmas Day deadline is December 20th. The Postal Service Express shipping Christmas Day deadline is December 21st. Tips and information. Depending on how far you wish to send a package, Fowler shared that FedEx and UPS ground shipping can take up to 5 business days. FedEx and UPS offer next business day shipping for additional costs depending on the weight of the delivery, according to their websites. Weight and dimensions can affect shipping costs. Making sure your delivery is packaged neatly can help minimize weight and dimension. Shipping times are unpredictable, according to Fowler. The only real guarantee and expected shipping time is overnight shipping. All other offerings from a mail service are typically estimates. Fowler said shipping times can be unpredictable, and her best piece of advice would be to get those deliveries to the post office as soon as possible. Christmas shipping supplies. This information was not provided by MacPack, but here are a few additional options for holiday-themed shipping boxes and supplies. Walmart. Walmart offers 5 and 10 packs of 15-inch by 11-inch holiday gift shopping boxes in holly, red plaid, green plaid designs, and more. Michaels. Michaels carries 12-inch by 10-inch by 1/8-inch gift shipping boxes with a holiday lights theme. Target. Target in Odessa carries 8-inch by 8-inch, 4-inch gift boxes with 3 different festive designs as a part of its Christmas Wonder Shop collection. Donors choose. Texas Leadership teacher seeking laptops. Mrs. Orozco, a teacher at Texas Leadership Charter School, is seeking touchscreen Chromebooks for her students on DonorsChoose.com. The project expires January 25th, and there is a $2,346 needed to fully fund it by the expiration date. Quote, I am hoping that having Chromebooks in the classroom will increase participation, improve classmate collaboration, and prepare students for the future. Technology is continuously evolving, and it is imperative to keep students up to speed, end quote, Orozco posted. What to know? Christmas Crawl happening Saturday. The annual Christmas Crawl, hosted by Sip House, takes place Saturday throughout the Downtown Entertainment District and at other popular spots in Midland. Quote, we love hosting this event because it's community-oriented. It brings local businesses together and fosters community over competition. It's a great day for adults to take a little time for themselves during this hectic time of year, end quote. Lee Sanchez, owner of Sip House and Lee Scoes, stated. Quote, seeing everyone dressed so festive is so rewarding for me. I'm a firm believer that Christmas is not just for the kids, and we as adults should enjoy the season too, end quote. Bourbon Street, Lee Scoes, the Buffalo Nickel, the Tailgate, and the Blue Door make up the fellow 5 locations for guests to embark on a festive celebratory adventure. A party shuttle bus will pick up and drop off patrons at each location, and delicious holiday drink specials make up the 6 menus. Sip House, Sip and Me Mary, $8 cocktail, and an Elf Yourself, $7 shot. The Blue Door, Christmas Cookie, $5 vodka shot, and Rudolph's Tipple, $7 tequila cocktail. The Buffalo Nickel, aged eggnog, $8 drink, and Yule Mule, $7 cocktail. Lee Scoes, White Christmas Marg, $8 cocktail, and a Merry Peachmas, $7 cocktail. The Tailgate, Rum Rum Rudolph, $9 cocktail, and Holly Jolly, $5 shot. Bourbon Street, Buddy the Elf, $9 cocktail, and a Candy Cane, $6 shot. An ugly Christmas sweater contest and scavenger hunt will take place as well throughout the venues. Participants must be 21 and up. Where to start and finish the evening is left up to attendee choice. Tickets cost $40 and should be purchased ahead of time at https://bit.ly/3Jrt4Nr. Band pickup begins at 3:30 p.m. at Sip House, 303 West Wall Street in the basement. The crawl runs 4 to 9 p.m. Parking is available on Colorado Street and Missouri Avenue. Water and snacks are provided, and guests are encouraged to Uber to and from their house. Note, the bars will still be open to the public, so make sure to show your band for crawl specials. Midland Park Mall offers events with Santa. MCSO Christmas at the Horseshoe. The Midland County Sheriff's Office and Inner Court will present Christmas at the Horseshoe event on Saturday. Those wanting to donate to the toy drive can do so at Texas Roadhouse, 4512 West Loop 250 North, Academy Sports and Outdoors, 5300 West Wadley Avenue, Dollar General, 6507 FM 307, Dollar General, 10404 FM 307, Midland County Annex, 2110 North A Street, Community National Bank, 1609 North Midland Drive. Note, Texas Roadhouse is offering a free appetizer with the donation of a toy at the restaurant. Santa at Midland Park Mall. The owner of Midland Park Mall, Simon, will present Breakfast with Santa from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Saturday. The event includes breakfast, donuts, breakfast burritos, cinnamon rolls, and yogurt parfaits. The first 100 kids also will receive reindeer antlers. Simon also reported the Santa photo experience continues through December 24th. Regular events. Rescue Runners, 8 to 10 a.m., 1st and 3rd, Saturdays, Midland Animal Shelter. Note, no rescue runners on December 2nd. Gentle Healing Yoga for Cancer-Impacted People, noon and 5:30 p.m. Monday. Yoga Sanctuary, 4202 Dawn Circle, 79707. One Bite at a Time's Cancer Support Groups, every second Tuesday of each month, 7 p.m. at 3813 North Midland Drive. Upcoming meetings. Planning and Zoning, 3:30 p.m. Monday. Council Chamber, City Hall, 300 North Lorraine Street. Commissioner's Court, 9 a.m. Tuesday. Commissioner's Courtroom, Midland County Courthouse, 500 North Lorraine Street. Midland ISD, 5:30 p.m. Tuesday. Bowie Fine Arts Academy, 805 Elk Avenue. Holiday shipping dates. USPS Ground Advantage Service, Saturday. First Class Mail Service, Saturday. Priority Mail Service, December 18th. Priority Mail Express Service, December 20th. What's up with Midland? The Blue Door, Christmas Tree Topiary Class, Saturday. Christmas Crawl, Saturday. Centennial Park, Rise and Run, Saturday. MPD Blue Santa, Saturday. Show Palms Performance, Sunday. Food Truck Takeover, December 20th, 27th. Colorado Street, Downtown Farmers Market, new location, every Saturday. La Hacienda, Los Hilgeros del Arroyo y Conjunto Relincho, December 31st. Midland Community Theater, The Sound of Music, Saturday. Midland Skate Park Association, Arctic Blast Competition, Saturday. The Tailgate, Family Fun Day, every Sunday. Tall City Brewing Company, Geeks Who Drink Trivia every Tuesday, Tall City Beer Run every Thursday, Toy Drive, now through Tuesday, Ugly Sweater Party, December 22nd. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, UTRGV Mariachi Christmas, Sunday, Lone Star Brass Fall Recital, Tuesday, Nutcracker Magical Christmas Ballet, December 27th. The Waystone, Fire Pit and S'mores Night, December 21st. Dice Minor Tournament and Blue Geo Pop-Up, December 28th. MISD announces plan to discontinue partnership at Bunch Goddard. Midland Independent School District has made the decision to recommend to the board at Tuesday's regular meeting the discontinuation of the contract with Reach Network that oversees Bunch Elementary and Goddard Junior High as an 1882 partner. The Reach Network will continue to operate the school through the end of the 2023-24 school year, according to the district. The district states it is grateful for the dedicated work that the Reach Network has contributed over the past 4 years and remains committed to enhancing student outcomes at both campuses. Quote, Midland ISD is confident in bringing Bunch Elementary and Goddard Junior High back under the MISD umbrella as neighborhood schools, end quote, said Superintendent Stephanie Howard in a news release. Quote, we look forward to working with the Reach Network over the coming months to ensure a smooth transition for our students and staff, end quote. Since 2019, the Reach Network has seen improvements in attendance rates and parent engagement at both schools. Quote, the Reach Network, including our leadership, board, and campus staff, are committed to the success of the students in our schools, end quote, said Reach Network Secretary/Treasurer Brian Stubbs. Quote, we will continue to have the successes and accomplishments of our students to be the focus throughout this school year and those that follow. Our staff makes our schools the best place for the students of Midland, and the dedication of our team has made all of their lives better, end quote. As part of the transition, all personnel and staff, who are also current MISD employees and in good standing, will remain employees of the district and serve in roles that best fit the needs of MISD. MISD stated that the district recognizes the importance of maintaining stability and continuity for students, parents, and staff during this transition. Quote, the district is committed to open communication and transparency throughout the process, ensuring that all stakeholders are kept informed of developments and next steps, end quote, the district reported. Quote, looking ahead, MISD will unveil comprehensive plans this spring designed to facilitate a smooth transition, ensuring that the 2024-25 school year begins seamlessly as the district remains committed to the continual growth and success of its students, end quote. Sheriff's Office. Deputies capture a man who escaped from jail. The Midland County Sheriff's Office reported Friday evening that they have captured a man who escaped from Midland County Central Detention Center on Thursday. Quote, at approximately 5 p.m. Friday, members of the Midland County Sheriff's Office, assisted by the Texas Department of Public Safety, located Michael James Nash in the area of the 1700 block of South Midkiff Road, end quote, the Sheriff's Office reported. Quote, Nash was taken into custody and transported to Midland County Central Detention Center, end quote. Local authorities had previously reported Nash, 51, escaped by manipulating a secure door within the facility at around 7:27 p.m. Thursday. At the time of his escape, Nash was being confined for theft over $100 under $750, evading arrest or detention in a motor vehicle, a third-degree felony, the unauthorized use of a motor vehicle, evading arrest or detention, and several warrants for forgery of a financial instrument which are outside of the county. Life tributes. Don Letzi, 7/21/1941 to 12/12/2023. Don Letzi, 82, of Midland, passed away on December 12, 2023. There is no service planned at this time. Don was born July 21, 1941, to Vonda and Melbourne Riley in Cleveland, Ohio. She is preceded in death by son Ronald Letzi, Jr., parents Vonda and Melbourne Riley, sister Rosalie Riley, brother Bud Riley, and many beloved dogs and birds. Don is survived by husband Ron Letzi, sons Dan and Tim, grandchildren and great-grandchildren, brother Chuck Riley, sister-in-law Pamela Desport and Jackie Rundle, and dogs Sparky and Pepper. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Michael Tater Schneider, 12/11/1968 to 12/13/2023. Michael Tater Schneider, born December 11, 1968, passed December 13, 2023, 55 years and 2 days. He was preceded in death by his father, Michael Don Schneider, and his mother, Retha Satterfield Schneider, all four grandparents, and our precious Lauren. Michael is survived by his wife of 23 years, Holly Lynn Schneider, two brothers, Warren Schneider and wife, Sylvia, of Sand Springs, Texas, Willie Schneider and wife, Juanita, of Midkiff, Texas, and all our babies from our, quote, add water and stir, end quote, family. Matthew Holcomb of Midland, Aaron Howell of May, Brooklyn Furr and Bobby Furr Jr. of Midland, Lainey Milam and Layla of Richardson. A memorial service will be held on Tuesday, December 19th at Solid Rock Fellowship out west at 4:30 p.m. with Brother Eddie Elliott officiating. Minalia Minnie Davis. Minalia Minnie Davis, 80, passed away Wednesday, December 13, 2023. Family will have a private service in Shreveport, Louisiana. Memorial service will be scheduled in Midland at a later date. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Anthony Tony Agiliga Mora. Anthony Tony Agiliga Mora, 51, of Midland, passed away Thursday, November 30th, 2023. He was born in Nigeria on September 10th, 1972. The family will receive friends for visitation on Friday, December 22nd, 2023, from 5 to 9 p.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home and Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street. Funeral services will be held Saturday, December 23rd, 2023, at 11 a.m. at Ellis Funeral Home, followed by interment at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Catalina Ramos Lara. Catalina Ramos Lara, 90, of Midland, passed away Monday, December 11th, 2023. The family will receive friends for visitation on Sunday, December 17th, 2023, from 4 to 8 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home, 4616 North Big Spring Street. The rosary will begin at 6 p.m. A Mass of Christian Burial will be celebrated Monday, December 18th, 2023, at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church, followed by interment at Fairview Cemetery. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Mary Lou Crimmins. Mary Lou Crimmins, 90, of Midland, passed away December 13, 2023. The family will receive guests from 5 o'clock p.m. to 7 o'clock p.m., Monday, December 18, 2023, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held at 1 o'clock p.m., Tuesday, December 19, 2023, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will take place at Fort Sill National Cemetery in Lawton, Oklahoma, at a later date. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. City of Midland off to record pace for sales tax collection. When it comes to sales tax collections, the City of Midland is off to another record pace. The Texas Comptroller reported this month that the City of Midland has collected $17.065 million during the first quarter of the new fiscal year, October to December. The amount is a 2.5% increase over the first quarter of FY 2022-23, $16.647 million. The city's fiscal year runs from October through the following September. The December collection marked the end of the first quarter of FY 2024. Whether the City of Midland can continue that pace remains to be seen. December marks the second time in 3 months that the city did not achieve year-over-year gains. The December total, $5,453,632, was 1.2% less than December 2022. Like the City of Midland, the Texas Comptroller reported a step back for Midland County. The county's December report showed a 1.2% decrease in sales tax collected. The Comptroller showed Midland County collected $6,399,734. The county's collection includes a half cent of sales tax inside the City of Midland. Sales tax revenue is generated by sales tax income from 2 months prior to collection. December collection is based on October sales. City sales tax report. December 2023. $5,453,632. December 2022. $5,523,338. Percent decrease, 1.2%. Fiscal year to date, 2023-24. $17,065,713. Fiscal year to date, 2022-23. $16,647,882. Percent increase, 2.5%. Past December's, 2023. $5,453,632. 2022, $5,523,338. 2021, $4,054,187. 2020, $3,373,149. 2019, $5,052,908. 2018, $4,743,531. 2017, $3,688,821. Amount to MDC. December 2022, $1,363,408. Fiscal year to date, 2022-23, $4,266,428. Railroad Commission. Midland Region dominates permits, completions. There is no comparing the Midland Region to any other in the state of Texas when it comes to drilling permit and completion statistics, according to the Railroad Commission. The RRC reported this month that the Midland Region dominated the other 12 in November when it came to permits to drill new oil/gas holes, new oil completions, and new gas completions. The Midland Region accounted for 49.3% of the permits across the state to drill new oil and gas holes. The 290 were 225 greater than the 65 in the San Angelo area. The 315 new oil completions in the Midland Region accounted for 58.6% from across the state. The next closest region was the San Angelo area with 79. The 65 new gas completions were 34.9% of the total statewide. The San Antonio area was second with 37. Statewide, the breakdown of well types for original drilling permits in November 2023 is 138 oil, 33 gas, 449 oil or gas, 8 injection, 1 service, and 10 other permits, according to the RRC. In November 2023, Commission staff processed 627 oil, 196 gas, and 143 injection completions for new drills, re-entries, and re-completions. Martin County passes Midland County for top oil producer. Martin County has passed Midland County as the top oil-producing county in the state, according to the Railroad Commission of Texas. The RRC's preliminary production report for September showed 16.971 million barrels of oil was produced in Martin County, compared to 16.338 million inside Midland County. The two counties combined for 33.31 million barrels, or 29.77% of the total production across the state, 111.887 million barrels, according to the RRC. Trailing Martin and Midland counties were a pair of neighbors, Upton County in third with 7.68 million, and Howard County in fourth with 7.06 million. The four counties in the heart of the Permian Basin combined for 48.061 million barrels, or 42.95% of the state's production in September. Nine of the top 10 producing counties in September again came from the Permian Basin, with Loving, Reeves, Glasscock, Andrews, and Reagan counties taking spots 6 through 10. The nine combined for 70.45 million barrels, or 62.99% of the oil produced in the state. The RRC also reported an increase in the preliminary reported total of oil produced in September compared to September 2022, 104.41 million barrels. The updated total last year was 131.66 million. The RRC's preliminary report for natural gas production showed Reeves County again was first, with 83.16 billion cubic feet of natural gas produced in September. Webb County was second with 81.78 billion, and Midland County was third with 65.98 billion. The RRC reported seven Permian Basin counties in the top 10 statewide. Statewide, the RRC showed preliminary production of 890.88 billion cubic feet of natural gas produced during the month. In September 2022, the preliminary production of gas was 742.90 billion cubic feet. The updated total was 956.90 billion cubic feet. September 2023, Texas top 10 crude oil producing counties ranked by preliminary production. County barrels. Martin, 16,971,500. Midland, 16,338,862. Upton, 7,689,754. Howard, 7,061,243. Carnes, 6,164,664. Loving, 5,973,352. Reeves, 4,910,920. Glasscock, 4,336,308. Andrews, 3,787,146. Reagan, 3,381,560. September 2023, Texas top 10 total gas, gas well, gas, and casing head producing counties ranked by preliminary production. County total gas, MCF. Reeves, 83,168,922. Webb, 81,780,733. Midland, 65,981,943. Panola, 46,562,659. Martin, 42,760,737. Loving, 38,566,358. Culberson, 37,065,455. Upton, 31,234,786. Harrison, 30,657,191. Reagan, 25,374,142. September 2023, Texas top 10 total condensate producing counties ranked by preliminary production. County condensate, BBLS. Reeves, 6,534,733. Loving, 4,394,983. Culberson, 3,195,078. DeWitt, 3,195,078. Webb, 1,208,034. Carnes, 1,171,799. Dimmitt, 632,578. Live Oak, 548,002. Ward, 488,262. McMullen, 329,369. Rig count moves lower after 4 weeks of gains. Drilling activity broke a four-week winning streak, posting a modest decline from the previous week. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said the U.S. rig count it has issued weekly since 1944 dropped three rigs to 623 for the week, still 153 rigs below the 776 tallied last December. The number of rigs drilling for crude fell two rigs to 501, 119 rigs below the 620 reported last year. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas was unchanged at 119, 35 less than the 154 rigs drilling for natural gas a year ago. Baker Hughes earlier reported Texas had lost 55 rigs for the week, but updated figures indicate the state actually gained two rigs to have 308 rigs at work statewide. That's 62 fewer rigs than the 370 reported last year. After earlier reporting New Mexico had dropped eight rigs, the company said the state fell four rigs to 102. Louisiana, three, and West Virginia, one, joined Texas as producing states seeing increases, while Pennsylvania, one, was the only other producing state to see a decline. After earlier reporting the Permian Basin had lost 35 rigs, Baker Hughes updated figures to indicate the Permian lost one rig, falling 313 rigs, 37 fewer than the 350 rigs active in the region last year. Enverus Foundations, part of the Energy Focus software as the service firm Enverus, said its U.S. rig count reached 673 during the week ended December 13th. Down by five rigs from the previous week's high point, the count is down by 17 rigs, or 2%, in the last month, and down by 187 rigs, or 22%, year over year. Among major basins, the Permian and Gulf Coast lost the most rigs over the last week, dropping by 7 and 3, respectively, for totals of 292 and 75. The Appalachian and Williston basins lost one rig each to hit 41 and 35. The Anadarko and DJ basins each added a rig for totals of 52 and 15. Oil prices post small gain after 7 weeks. Crude prices broke a seven-week losing streak to eke out a small gain for the week, boosted by signs of the Federal Reserve's aggressive interest rate hiking campaign is over. West Texas Intermediate rose 3 of 5 trading days on New York Mercantile Exchange, falling to the lowest level in 5 months before rebounding. Prices sank $2.71 Tuesday on signs of increased supplies before regaining their footing and rising $2.11 Thursday, as signs emerged the Fed was concluding its rate increase campaign. Prices eased 15 cents Friday to close at $71.43, up from $71.23 at last Friday's close. The posted price ended the week at $67.91, according to Plains All American. Natural gas futures rose 3 of 5 trading days on the NYMEX. Futures got off to a rocky start, dropping 15 cents and 12 cents Monday and Tuesday before moving higher. Prices rose 9.9 cents Friday to end the week at $2.491 per MCF, down from $2.581 at last Friday's close. SM Energy declined to comment on commodity prices, but Jennifer Samuels, Vice President, Investor Relations and ESG Stewardship, told the Reporter Telegram the company looks forward to begin drilling on its new acreage position in North Martin and Dawson counties. The company recently received 9 drilling permits in Howard County, and Samuels said the company has added a 4th rig in the Midland Basin to begin drilling on its new Martin and Dawson acreage. Quote, this positions the company to allocate more capital toward oil in the current commodity price environment, end quote, she wrote. East Daily Analytics this week reported Permian Basin gas flows reached an all-time high in November, averaging 6.3 billion cubic feet per day, up 3.4% from October. The company said the average is the highest in pipeline samples dating to 2019. The increase is the latest bearish sign for natural gas markets, East Daily said. Quote, what this does is exacerbate the storage price yield curve, end quote, Jack Weeksel, senior director at East Daily, told the Reporter Telegram by email. Quote, when the market is dealing with most more associated gas that is low dollar or even $0, it flattens our price to surplus/deficit relationship. Production that can keep going at any price means the market becomes more agnostic to deficits and prices stay lower for longer, end quote. He cautioned that, quote, we're about to run into a critical threshold for gas prices and producers. Who can hang on at $2? Part of the answer is obviously Permian producers, but that does not bode well for Haynesville, Eagle Ford, Anadarko, and other Tier 2 basins, at least in the near term, end quote. Relatively mild winter temperatures, quote, will make their mark felt. It's just taking a little longer because of Permian production resilience at low prices, end quote, Weeksel concluded.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, December 18th. The Power of Hobbies. The story was written by guest contributor Heather Rotan. Do you have a hobby? Something you enjoy doing in your free time where you can be creative or just have fun? Some people tend to stray away from their hobbies as they get older due to being too busy or feeling like hobbies are for children. However, having something to do outside of work and responsibilities can add more meaning and enjoyment into life. Studies have shown that having meaning in life is one of the most important things for people, and that doesn't mean it has to be all related to responsibilities, family, parenting, school, work, etc. We all need something that also brings joy and fun to our lives. Women specifically tend to struggle with not making time for hobbies or even socializing due to prioritizing responsibilities such as children and household chores. A motivational speaker named Stan Jacobs quotes that, to be happy in life, develop at least 4 hobbies, one to bring you money, one to keep you healthy, one to bring you joy, and one to bring you peace. Hobbies can also be a good way of coping with life stressors. When we do something fun or creative, it releases dopamine, serotonin, or other chemicals in the brain that help with emotional stress management and gives us a sense of accomplishment or meaning. There are certain hobbies that can provide more health benefits to us, such as running, yoga, meditation, weightlifting, etc. However, the smallest hobbies can produce a chemical reaction in the brain that will pull us through and make life feel more peaceful for just a moment. Viktor Frankl wrote in one of his books that those who have a why to live can bear with almost any how. This shows the power of just having something to strive for or focus on. Need some ideas for a hobby to try out? Below are some examples. Exercise, video games, podcasts, drawing, reading, dancing, sewing, painting, writing, singing, crocheting, photography, music, sports, woodworking, puzzles, poetry, languages, building models, cooking. And there are so many more. Find out what you enjoy or are passionate about and start doing something fun. If you or a loved one need help navigating through any mental health struggle, contact us at Samaritan Center, 432-563-4144. We now also offer both counseling and psychiatric services. Holiday driving. This article was written by Carol A. Keats, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. I love the holiday season because, for me, it means family get-togethers. I get to see my kids and grandkids regularly because they live here in the basin. But for the rest of my family, because we are so spread out across Texas and the U.S., holidays are when my dad, siblings, and I are able to get together as a group. Unfortunately, because we are so spread out, that also means some of us are traveling during the holidays. According to the National Safety Council, 246 people died in car crashes on U.S. roads between December 24th and December 26, 2022. Another 39,000 people were injured in a car crash seriously enough to seek medical care during that same period. The number of deaths that happen in the 2 days around Christmas Day account for about 10% of all the deaths in December. The statistics for the 2 days around New Year's Day are very similar in terms of fatalities and injuries. The main reason roads are more dangerous during the holiday season is because the number of people who drive while intoxicated. On average, over the entire year, about 30% of fatal car crashes involve someone who was driving while intoxicated. Over the days surrounding Christmas and New Year's, however, that percentage spiked to about 40%. Other reasons that holiday driving can be hazardous are winter road conditions and more people on the roads. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, recommend several safety tips for drivers during this holiday season. First, do not drive if you are impaired by alcohol or drugs, and do not allow anyone in your life to do so either. Driving while intoxicated deaths and injuries are so preventable, the injuries that change lives forever are so preventable. Please, please designate a driver, call a cab, Uber, or Lyft if there is any chance you or someone in your life could be impaired. Second, avoid distractions. Do not text, email, or use social media while driving. At 55 miles per hour, taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds to send a text is equivalent to driving the entire length of a football field with your eyes closed. Third, make sure you check the road conditions and upcoming weather on your route. If you do end up traveling in inclement weather, make sure you drive at a speed that takes road conditions into account. Lastly, wear your seatbelt properly and at all times. If you are traveling with children, make sure they are in an age and size appropriate car seat or booster seat. Make sure the car seat or booster seat is correctly installed in your vehicle using manufacturer instructions for both your vehicle and the car seat or booster seat. Do not put bulky coats or blankets under car seat harnesses because the harness cannot be tightened correctly. A great trick I learned is to take off your child's coat, put them in the car seat, and then put the coat on backwards without covering up their face. That way, they stay covered up while still being safe. Remember, children under 12 should always ride in the back seat. The risks of being injured or killed in a car crash increase as we get older. Some things to consider if you are over 65 and driving this holiday season: speak to your primary health care provider or pharmacist about any side effects from medications that might affect your ability to drive safely. Make sure you have your eyes checked every year and wear any eye correction as directed. Plan routes before you drive and choose well-lit streets, intersections with left turn signals, and easy parking. The last thing I want you to remember is these rules don't apply just for long trips. The highest rate of car crashes occurs when people are close to home. Remember these safe driving tips this holiday season every time you get in a car. And, as I said earlier, never get behind the wheel or allow someone you know to get behind the wheel if they have been drinking or using any intoxicating substance. Have a safe and happy holiday season. Gardening. Under the mistletoe. This was written by guest contributor Sarah Moran, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Horticulture Agent for Midland and Ector Counties. I was listening to Taylor Swift's song, Christmas Tree Farm, where mistletoe is mentioned in a romantic scenario, as you might have seen mistletoe on many season decorations or Hallmark movies. Come on, don't tell me you never watch a holiday Hallmark movie. But mistletoe is as romantic as we know it? Well, keep reading. Mistletoe is characterized by its green leaves and small white berries. You can find mistletoe in many parts of the world, and, are you ready for this? Mistletoe is a parasitic plant that grows on various trees, extracting nutrients from its host. There are different species of mistletoe. The American mistletoe, called oak mistletoe, occurs throughout the United States and affects deciduous trees. Three species affected include oak, sugarberry, cherry, sycamore, elm, and more. While American mistletoe affects deciduous trees, it does have a counterpart that attacks coniferous trees, commonly known as evergreens. Dwarf mistletoe, like American mistletoe, is also a parasite, and several species exist. Dwarf mistletoe spreads by sticky, pressurized seeds that, when burst, can spread upwards of 50 feet. The seeds then adhere to the surfaces of nearby trees. Birds attracted by the berries can also help disperse the seeds. Mistletoe has a unique way of obtaining nutrients. It produces a haustorium or root-like structure that penetrates the host tree bark and connects to its vascular system, allowing mistletoe to extract water and nutrients. This can lead to a reduction in the host plant's overall nutrient supply, potentially affecting its growth, development, and overall health. Mistletoe could also negatively impact the photosynthesis process, converting carbon dioxide and water into sugar and oxygen, which could be detrimental to the plant's health, affecting normal plant development. Plant hosts can experience stunted growth as the mistletoe competes with the host for resources. According to the Texas A&M Forest Service, a mistletoe infection could weaken the tree's ability to fight off other parasites or properly compartmentalize decay and wounds. Management practices for mistletoe include mechanical control. First, remove the mistletoe before it produces seeds. Cut at least 1 foot below the point where it is attached to remove the haustoria. Additionally, consider hiring an ISA-certified arborist who can diagnose and recommend the proper treatment. Over time, and after the ugly truth, mistletoe has been associated with love and fertility, which has led to the custom of exchanging kisses under the mistletoe during the Christmas season. Today, mistletoe is a popular decoration during the holiday season with influences from different cultures. Personally, mistletoes are my only favorite artificial plant. You now know why. Finally, I am sorry for delivering this news during the season. Now take a deep breath and enjoy the holidays. If you have questions or want more information, contact your Texas A&M County Extension office in Midland at 432-686-4700 or Ector County 432-498-4071. You can also send an email to sarah.moran@ag.tamu.edu. Master Gardeners, December Gardening Tips. This was written by Master Gardeners Debbie Rowland and Emmy Almschneider. December has really curtailed our outdoor gardening activities. Researching and planning for next year's yard and garden by a nice warm fireplace can only occupy so much of your time. Most of us get restless. On nice days, there are other things you can do. Drop by the garden centers when you're nearby. There are lots of pansies and plants, such as ornamental cabbage, available that will live through the winter and be beautiful next spring. Mix them with bulbs in your beds for a great color early next year. Trees and shrubs can be found and planted as well. Be careful not to let them dry out after planting. The same is true for trees or shrubs that are already established in your yard. If you still grow turf in your yard, especially Bermuda, it looks brown, but the roots are still growing, so occasional watering is a must. If a new garden or flower bed is in your 2024 spring plans, prepare now by digging your new area and removing all weeds or Bermuda grass. Bermuda is very invasive, and one sprout will cause big problems by the end of next year's garden season. Go ahead and work in compost now, as well as other organic matter like leaves. If you have dead or diseased wood in your trees or shrubs, they can be pruned from now until early March. There are many crepe myrtles growing in our area, and some are not pruned correctly. They shouldn't be severely cut back, since it can cause freeze damage. Delay pruning until late February, when other plants are pruned, and then only remove branches that are the size of a pencil. Please don't ever top a branch on a crepe myrtle. Now is the time to remove dead vegetables and weeds from your garden. Be sure to cover your soil with mulch when the job is done. Soil should never be left bare. If nothing is growing, be sure there is some sort of mulch in its place. Order seeds now for starting early transplants or direct sowing after the last freeze. Birds will be showing up at your feeders, and it's time to provide both food and fresh water for them and continue until spring. During a dry winter, you can attract different species of birds with just a bird bath. If you have questions, Call the AgriLife office in Odessa at 498-4071 or in Midland at 686-4700. Additional information and our blog for access to past articles is available at westtexasgardening.org. Click on Resources.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.